without being deliberate, then we'll reach a level of, you know, expertise. But after some time, it becomes, we fall into autopilot mode and there's no growth thereafter. Because consistency has to be coupled with deliberate intention and practice. And likewise, if you are deliberate in your actions, and you are intentful, you intend certain things, but you're inconsistent, then you're not going to reach any level of proficiency or mastery in any case. Therefore, Jeff Colvin authored his book, Talent is Overrated, What Separates World-Class Performers from Everybody Else. And in there, he's not denying the phenomenon of talent. He's just merely expressing beautifully that we rely too much on that because we're lazy. We want to go into autopilot mode. And then we become less deliberate in our actions. Jamaatul Muslimin, when it comes to our acts of worship, our spirituality, our ibadah, the same rules apply. We can't only be focused on taking up the task and just the mere execution of the task without being deliberate in our task. For this reason, Ibn Ata'ila rahimahullah ta'ala says that you will find many a people who's consistent in performing the salah, but they're not muqeem, they're not considered muqeem. Laysa kullu musallin muqeem. Not every person who's performing salah is necessarily making iqama of salah. As Allah instructs us in Quran, aqim is salah. Establish salah, not just perform salah. Be that as it may, the focus today is not really on salah. What I really wish to focus on over the next few minutes is an ibadah that is the most powerful form of ibadah on condition that we obtain mastery in the ibadah. And that is none other than dua, supplication, calling unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, "Ad-du'a silahul mu'min." The du'a is the weapon of the believer. And we believe with full conviction and full certainty in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in the same breath, we introspect and we ask ourselves the question, the obvious question. Or we remind ourselves that mere ownership over a weapon is not going to bring us any benefit if I have no skill within the weapon. If I have no skill and I haven't mastered a certain skill to utilize the weapon for what it was designed to do. I just have ownership over something. I have no idea how to utilize the weapon. Or I'm utilizing it, but in a very amateur way. I might even shoot myself in the foot. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that ad-du'a silahul mu'min. Du'a is the weapon of the believer. Right? What's implicit here, the unspoken word here rather, is if we utilize the weapon correctly, if we give du'a the correct due time, effort, focus, spirituality, consistency, and we're deliberate in what we are saying, then we will reap the benefits of du'a. In another, to emphasize the power or the nature of du'a, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith that comes in the sunnah of Imam Tirmidhi, rahimahullah ta'ala, that part of a longer hadith, but he says, لا يردُّ القضاء إلا بالدعاء. Decree cannot be changed except through du'a. Can we imagine the power of du'a? If something is decreed in a certain way, and we are able to alter it, to change it, or redirect it, we are unable to do so with anything except through du'a. So, our scholars have given numerous advices and tips and etiquettes regarding du'a that we should utilize. But for today, we'd like to focus on just three of the advices of our scholars pertaining to dua, that hopefully, bi-idhnillah, I'm quite confident that if we implement these three things in our dua, we will obtain mastery within our dua. Within our dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer our du'as and we will see the benefits of that. The first of the three is that we ensure that we exert in the inner dimensions of our ibadah, and specifically now in dua, the same amount of effort that we exert in the outer form of our ibadah. Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, after listing about 9 etiquettes of dua, many of which we are familiar with already, that's why we're not going through them, some of them being to wait for a mubarak time, some of them being to ensure that you are facing the qibla, some of the etiquette being to show that you are in wudu, in a state of wudu. These are all part of the etiquettes of dua. To ensure you're facing the qibla, your awrah is covered, you're sitting in a correct posture, like someone that needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, etc., etc. He gives a list of etiquette. At the 10th etiquette that he gives, he moves from something or from all the physical aspects or the outward aspects, and he moved to the inward one. And he says, هُوَ الْأَدَبُ الْبَاطِنُ. It's the inward etiquette that we should have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what does he say? He says, وَهُوَ مَوْضِعُ الْإِجَابَةِ. This is the origin of your prayers being answered. Is this inward etiquette. What we are trying to say is that as much as we are ensuring that the outward form is correct in all of our ibadah, and then specifically today in our dua, we need to ensure that we exert similar effort for the inward state of our dua. And the entry level for the inward form of dua is just that we have presence of heart and we are mindful of what we are saying and whom we are communicating with. In the time of Nabi Musa, one of the Bani Israel, he was praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a given thing. And he's making dua, and every day he's making dua, and he's making dua, and he's yet to see his dua being answered. And then he comes to complain to Nabi Musa alayhi salam. And he tells Nabi Musa, I've been praying for so long. You know, Nabi Musa says, Kalimullah, he says, Kalim Rabbak, speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where is my... Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to Nabi Musa and says, if he was mindful in one of his prayers, لَأَجَبْتُهُ, I would have answered him. Meaning he was consistent, but he wasn't deliberate. Just mechanical process, quickly, so I can say I've executed the action and wait for whatever I asked for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds Nabi Musa that if he was mindful once in his prayers, if his heart was present once while asking, لَأَجَبْتُهُ, I would have answered him. So being mindful of what we are saying in our dua, having presence of heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when making dua, is the first step to ensuring that we are exerting internal effort as much as we are in the outward. But I repeat and I say that's the entry level form of the inner dimensions of our ibadah. It extends way beyond that. We can reach much more than that. We can reach such a state where the internal, our spiritual, is doing more than what our outward and physical is doing. And ideally we reach that state. Fudayl ibn Iyad was known, or is known throughout our history, to be someone close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is reported to have been on the plains of Arafah for Hajj. 1 year. And on the plains of Arafah, on Wukuf, everyone's making dua. Some people are making out loud, some people are making soft, but you can see everyone's making dua. For some strange reason, Fudayl ibn Ayyad is sitting with his cheek on his hand, staring into the sky in deep thought. What's happening here is that he's extremely busy internally. Though on the outwardly, looks like Fudayl ibn Ayyad is just sitting and daydreaming. Fudayl ibn Ayyad is sitting with his cheek on his hand, staring into the sky, and he's extremely busy internally. So this is a strange sight for many reasons, because generally on the plains of Arafah, you are extremely busy with dua. And everyone's asking forgiveness, and everyone's the regret is there, and everyone's admitting to their shortcomings, and everyone's praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the sight on Arafah, except that this individual is just sitting staring in the sky. But he's in deep thought, and he's immersed in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's communicating internally until the waqt of wukuf almost comes to an end. And just before the waqt of wukuf comes to an end, someone close to Fudayl ibn Ayyad hears him saying the only thing he ever uttered for that duration, which is a form of dua, all he said was, "Wa khajlatahum mink hatta walau ghafarta li." All Fudayl ibn Ayyad said was, "Oh," speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh, how shy I'm going to be He says, "Oh, how shy I'm going to be before you, even if you forgive me." Now, we have to contemplate in what he's saying in order to appreciate the depth of what he's saying. As believers, just having iman and faith, we believe in one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe that his laws have to be, we have to abide by his laws, and we believe that if we transgress the boundaries, we are liable and we are accountable. And if we are not blessed with the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we could face punishment. So, seeking forgiveness for your sins is the bare minimum entry level of iman. What Fudayl ibn Ayyad is concerned with is something beyond that. Not that he's not asking for forgiveness, not that he's not asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, but really what he's asking for is that even if you forgive me, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّا, you do not forget. Because the lover never wants to disappoint the beloved. So where Fudayl ibn Ayyad is at is that even if you forgive me, how do I face you and stand in front of you? A different meaning altogether. I remember one scholar recently, after his mother passed away, he shared similar sentiments when he said that he remembered growing up and seeing his mother in dua in the middle of the night. But the point he's bringing across is that she wasn't even aware that we were watching her. She was completely cut off and oblivious to what was going on around her, completely immersed in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, completely focused on her dua. Her internal was much more busy than her external. So the first point is that to ensure that we are equally, at the very least, busy internally, spiritually, like we are in terms of the outward. The second point is that we remind ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that which we do not know. So that we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the process of the plan, and we try and we seek for the subtle divine wisdoms within the plan. We have to do this. We have to ensure that we are not overly focused just on the situation I'm in without paying any attention to what preceded it, what follows it, why it happened, when it happened, what are the divine wisdoms within the plan? And then we need to trust the divine plan and trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the process. Ibn Ata'ila rahimahullah ta'ala says, لَا يَكُنْ تَأَخُّرُ أَمَدِ الْعَطَاءِ مَعَ الْإِلْحَاحِ فِي الدُّعَاءِ مُوجِبًا لِيَأْسِكَ فَهُوَ ضَمِنَ لَكَ الْإِجَابَةِ فِيمَا يَخْتَارُهُ لَكَ لَا فِيمَا تَخْتَارُ لِنَفْسِكَ وَفِي الْوَقْتِ الَّذِي يُرِيدُ لَا فِي الْوَقْتِ الَّذِي تُرِيدُ. Ibn Ata'ila rahimahullah ta'ala says that do not allow the delay in the response to your dua lead to you despairing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answering your dua. Why? فَهُوَ ضَمِنَ لَكَ الْإِجَابَةِ, because he has promised to respond to you. فِيمَا يَخْتَارُهُ لَكَ, in that which he has chosen for you. لَا فِيمَا تَخْتَارُ لِنَفْسِكَ, not in that which you have chosen for yourself. وَفِي الْوَقْتِ الَّذِي يُرِيدُ, and at the time that he wishes. لَا فِي الْوَقْتِ الَّذِي تُرِيدُ, not in, at the time that you wish. And this is something to rejoice in. If we acknowledge our short-sightedness, if we understand that we are the ant on the carpet that only recognizes the color that he's currently walking on, completely oblivious to the fact that that color of the carpet is part of many other colors forming a beautiful picture. We have to acknowledge our short-sightedness, and we have to then trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has our best interest at heart, and that He will respond to the dua at the time that He wishes, not at the time that you wish. For no other reason except for your benefit, if there's any delay. We look at, in fact, Ibn Ata'ila says something beautiful when he says that, رُبَمَا مَنَعَكَ فَأَعْطَاكَ وَرُبَمَا أَعْطَاكَ فَمَنَعَكَ. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withholds, but within His withholding, He's giving you. And sometimes He gives, and within Him giving you, He's withholding. Right? This is when we are trying to understand the subtle divine wisdoms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within the plan. Let's take very briefly the story of Nabi Yusuf to understand what Ibn Ata'ila rahimahullah ta'ala is saying. Let's take the story of Nabi Yusuf. The ideal situation in all of our minds would be that he grew up with his father. Even though they met again later on, ideally you would want the young boy to grow up with his father, under his father's care. He was deprived of that. Now we ask ourselves a question in light of what Ibn Ata'ila rahimahullah is saying. Was he deprived or was he given? Was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala depriving him or was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving him? In depriving him of one thing, which is the companionship of his father, for a limited time, what has he gained in the process? Through the process, he gained prophethood. Through the process, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him knowledge of the interpretation of dreams. Through the process, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed him in charge, through the meaning of the wealth of Egypt at the time. Through the process, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he regained the love of his brothers, and he returned and reunited with his parents. So what outwardly, seemingly, apparently, seems like deprivation, like he was deprived, in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was giving him, but we need to be patient with the plan. We need to be patient with the plan. And then, the very last of the 3 points is that we communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ensure that our dua is filled with communication, dialogue, and not just, you know, so brief, to the point, and then up we go and we leave. We take the example, and the Quran is replete of examples of this nature, but one beautiful example is the example of Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam. When Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam was in communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he laid down his entire position. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew, but he was communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that my hairs become gray, my body, my bones are weak, this is my situation, there's no offspring, etc., etc. This is my case. I lay my case before you. But he goes through a long list of things of what he's experiencing, what he would like as an outcome, how he would like it. A complete dialogue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, within that dialogue, he's praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers his praise. But the focus really isn't the answer. The answer is guaranteed. The response to the dua is guaranteed. The question is my execution thereof. What's the type of dua I'm making? Am I communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is it just again some consistency without being very deliberate? If we want to ensure that we gain mastery, and as we mentioned at the very beginning, every single one of us have the ability and the opportunity to gain mastery on anything that we place our mind on and effort on. If we want to ensure that we gain mastery in dua, we have to ensure at the very least that we meet these three criteria. In addition to that, and to end off with, is to read and study and analyze the dua of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and the dua of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read them, understand them. A simple dua like the qunut that we make every morning for fajr. It's a beautiful dua. Dua of a prophetic dua. And the manner in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam converses with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely beautiful. When he's praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he's laying his case before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he's completely accepting of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is all contained within the dua. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us this ability. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us a connection to Him. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to attain mastery not only in other activities and in other sciences, but in our connection and in our spirituality with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our du'as, our personal du'as, our du'as for our community, for the society, for the Muslims at large, for our brothers in Palestine and in all other places of the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. There's just, I don't know if there are any other announcements, but okay, so Masjid Sunni, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Masjid Sunni wishes to inform the community that we will be having our monthly dhikr on Thursday, the 18th of January, between Maghrib and Isha. So we invite everyone to partake in the dhikr. And then another announcement: there was a request to make du'a for Abdullah Kuzin, I think is the surname, who had suffered a stroke yesterday. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him complete shifa. And then lastly, from the 20th, from the end of this month, I think it's the 21st of January on Sunday, Al Huda Academy, which is a madrasa focused on part-time madrasa on weekends for our students in primary and high school, will be at Masjid Sunni from the 21st of January, the following Sunday. So we encourage that everyone in the area, in the surrounding areas, bring your children, primary or high school. What we've noticed is that the afternoon madrasa during the week is slowly fading out. The children are too busy with extramural and everything else. So here's an opportunity on a Sunday. And then Al Huda Academy also has a branch in Weinberg and in Brooklyn areas on a Saturday. So if the Sunday doesn't work for you, the Saturday should work for you. There must be one day at least that works. So we encourage everyone to bring your children, primary or high school children, enroll them on a Sunday here at Masjid Sunni, so that we ensure that they are educated both in terms of the deen and secularly. وبهذا القدر نكتفي سبحان الله وبحمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ولا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي لم يزل ولا يزال حياً قيوماً قادراً سميعاً بصيراً ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونسبحه ونقدسه ونكبره تكبيراً ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله المبعوث إلى الناس بشيراً ونذيراً. اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم على سيدنا محمدٍ وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليماً كثيراً كثيراً. أما بعد، فيا أيها المسلمون، أوصيكم ونفسي أولاً بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم، إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم، يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فيا أيها الناس، أوصيكم ونفسي أولاً بتقوى الله، تقوى الله التي لا يقبل غيرها ولا يرحم إلا أهلها ولا يثيب إلا عليها. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث: اتق الله حيثما كنت، وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها، وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: واعلموا أن الله أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على الحبيب المصطفى، فقال عز من قائل: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.
اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وارض اللهم عن الصحابة أجمعين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، واخذل الكفرة والمشركين، ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين يا الله يا رحم الرحمين. ربنا أتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقيموا الصلاة. قوم الله دامها ما دامت السماوات والأرض. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح، ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا، فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره، إنه كان توابا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
Allah Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله العظيم التواب الرحيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. نتوب إليك ونسألك توبة ومغفرة إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. تب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم اشفه شفاء كاملا لا يغادر سقما ولا ألما. نسأل الله العظيم رب العرش الكريم أن يشفيه ومرضى المسلمين أجمعين شفاء لا يغادر سقما ولا ألما. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.